with him, with all we've done, with all we are, that yet we have a future with Christ because of who he is. Beautiful. We'll do our children's offering at this time. If you have an offering and you want to bring it up, and if you're kindergarten and younger, you can be dismissed. If you're older than that, we ask you to stay out here. So if any of those people are included. Hello. Want to thank a few folks. You notice our Christmas is decorated for the church. And Melanie and Ashley and Taylor and Anthony did that yesterday. So thank you so much. And then Tay helped Shirley with the sign yesterday at the road because he got in the picture when she sent it to me. Tay's all posing like that. He's so bashful. There is more than this. Aren't you glad? Man. We're going to talk specifically this morning about the future we have in Christ and about our resurrection. Because the resurrection is the key to our faith. As Manley says, if he hadn't arose the third day, as Paul says, we'd still be in our sin. Because he'd been like any other man that would have been a good man maybe, a good teacher, a good prophet, but would have died and had done no good. But the difference in Christ was that the same Lamb of God that was slain also rose from the dead the third day to secure our redemption and secure our salvation. That's why that song, "Nothing But the Blood Can Wash Away My Sins." Nothing but the blood. We can't do one thing about our salvation, but Christ has already accomplished that. And the resurrection proves that we too will rise from the dead. We will not stay dead. Death has no dominion over us. That the grave will not hold us. But for those that are in Christ, we are forever alive. And man, I'm thankful for that. That we have a future that is sure and that is secure. First Peter tells us that we have an inheritance that is undefiled, that fadeth not away, that's reserved in heaven for us. And man, I'm thankful for that. So let's get into some scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to talk about this. And bless whoever that was. And I read this scripture a lot, actually, at funerals, when I do funerals, especially at grave sites. But I want to preach it somewhere outside the grave site. Y'all okay with that? This better than a grave site, right? So let's... I want to talk about it in an atmosphere where there's still some living people. So let's talk about 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to start with verse 35. We'll go through 44, and then we're going to skip around a little bit for the rest of that chapter. But look what it says in verse 35. Now, remember we've been doing an Acts series on Wednesday nights. And remember we've been talking about the Sadducees don't believe in a resurrection. So I know to us as Christians, resurrection is like, duh, yeah, resurrection. Everybody believes in that. Everybody didn't believe in that, especially in this culture. And so there was a lot of those Pharisees, those Sadducees, and those religious sects of people that did not believe in a resurrection. So this is a big thing for Paul to keep talking about. The same Jesus you crucified also rose from the dead. They didn't believe in that. So it was a big thing. So he addressed a question they have in verse 35. And maybe this will answer some of your questions this morning, because I think we've all thought about this. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? You ever thought about that? What your new body's going to look like? I'm going to say something. For this body looking better than it does now, God's got to do a lot of work. No, I'm just playing. I am really excited about our next step in life of what God has prepared for us. And they were asking, what body do we come with? You know, when Randy lays down his life and they put him in the ground 6 feet under and sing Amazing Grace, and he comes back to life, you know, and he's in heaven and he's got that new glorified body, will it look like Randy? You know what? You're going to be surprised at the answer. So I'm glad you said that. And I'm not going to say it myself. I'm going to read the Word of God. Let's see what it says about that. Verse 36, kind of funny what George Ann just said. Thou fool! That we just playing George Ann. Oh, I love our church. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. Now, what Paul is talking about, they're wondering how can a body be resurrected? He's saying, He's going back to nature. Look, you plant a seed. No seed ever grows until it's first buried. When you plant tomato plants, watermelon, squash, whatever your thing is, and you put that seed in the ground and cover it up, does that make any sense? I want me some watermelons. I'm going to take a seed and bury it in the ground and cover it up. That don't make no sense to our natural mind. Why would I bury a seed if I want it to produce? He's using that example. Every harvest we receive has to first be buried in the ground, and then the Lord increases that and grows that, and through that dirt, through that weather, it pushes itself out and becomes the harvest that it's intended to be. That's what he's saying. Don't you understand? Y'all are corn farmers, he's telling them. Y'all plant all kinds of stuff. Do you just go out and there's corn all of a sudden? No. How do you get corn? You have to first bury it. Then after it's buried, and after that germination period, after that certain time period, all of a sudden through the dirt, through that death of burial, is when the resurrection comes. So it is with us. We cannot get our new bodies until this one is put away. Whether it's through the grave or whether it's through being changed here on this side. And we get into that this morning too, which is exciting because there's some people that won't go through the grave. There's some that will be changed where they are in an instant. But even if we go by the way of the grave, that grave is bearing the seed. But that doesn't stay there. It doesn't stay under that dirt. That seed, once this life is laid down, then we can inherit what God has prepared for us. We can't have a glorified body in the state we're in now. We know that. We have to have a transition. It says, thou which thou sowest not that body that shall be. Now here, this answers George Ann and Gordon's question. I'm going to say, because Gordon also said good answer. Thou which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may be chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Now this tells me something. Not that I've ever taught these verses ever in 16 years. You know what he's saying here? God's going to give it the body he wants. And it won't look nothing like Randy looks now. And here's how I know this. Does a watermelon look anything like the seed? Nothing. Does a squash look anything like the seed? Absolutely not. Those beautiful sunflowers that we love, that Melanie loves, she loves sunflowers, and they bloom with those big yellow round, they open up and they turn to the sun, and you see a field of them sometimes. They're just so beautiful. That wasn't how they started out. They started out as a little seed that could not be identified. I don't know about you, unless you're an extremely good farmer, really an agriculture guru. If Stacy brought up here 10 different seeds, just seeds, and laid them across the stage in piles and told me to identify what it was. I know pumpkin seeds. I eat those sometimes. Okay, that's pumpkin seeds. And I make it to a sunflower seed, maybe, because I see them in Food Line. But I wouldn't know what a seed. I don't know what a watermelon seed versus an okra seed versus a squash seed. If you laid all these seeds out, I couldn't automatically say, oh, I bet that's a tomato seed. I bet that's a watermelon seed. To me, they're just seeds. Different shapes, different colors, but they're seeds. But boy, don't those fruits look all different? There's a big difference in a tomato and a watermelon. There's a big difference in a cucumber and a cob of corn. They're different colors, different shapes, different sizes. That's how we're going to be. Some of you going to be cucumbers. Some of you going to be watermelons. Some of you going to be cantaloupes. Some of you going to be zucchini. Melon's going to be a potato. That's what she'll be. She'll be a potato. Each seed, God gives it the body which it pleases. This tells me something. We've always heard, maybe it's through, I don't know what it's through, because we're going to read, this is what the Word of God says. We've always, because I guess it comes from people saying, you'll be known as you are. Well, yes, I absolutely think we'll still be identified. I can identify a watermelon. Once the watermelon's there, that's a watermelon. I'm not a farm boy, but I know a watermelon, and I know a cantaloupe. I know bananas, 4011 lookups. Still remember that from all them years ago? That's the POU number on them. I remember that. I can identify those fruits. I know what a coconut looks like. I know what a Pomeranian's a dog. A pomegranate. I know what a pomegranate looks like. I know what these things look like. I can identify those. A tomato don't have to come to me and say, hey, I'm a tomato. I know you're a tomato. How do you know? Because you're red and round and squishy and got seeds in them. And when I slice open, it looks like my sandwich. I know what you are. You're a tomato. I can identify that. So, yes, we will be known as we are. But I'm telling you, according to Scripture, we read this, our new bodies that God's going to give us will not look anything like we look now. It's going to be a brand new creation in Christ. This is just a seed. We are just a seed. This is our seed we're walking in. And when our seed is planted in the ground or whether it's changed, this seed will birth the harvest of what God has planned on it to look like. Hallelujah. That's our promise of our future. And I thank God I won't look like this because I was just kidding a while ago. I'm not that confident. I'm really not. And I thank God I'm going to look different. And most of you thank God you're going to look different probably. You're like, oh, man. I'm going to be so different. This is just the shell and the seed that I have now, but it's going to give birth to something much greater. It's going to give birth to something my eyes haven't seen and my ears haven't heard that I can't even fathom or think about. But what God's prepared for me is sure, and it's certain, and it's sealed, and one day we will see it. So this is our seed, church. Our body now is our seed. Look at verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh. There's a kind of flesh of men. There's flesh of beasts. Another of fishes, another of birds. There are celestial bodies, terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one. The glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. How much we heard that? No two stars alike. No two snowflakes alike, right? We've heard that. Now, if there's no two snowflakes alike, no two stars alike, God made a big old round fat moon. He made a big old ball of gas called a sun. He made all them mountains, all them oceans, all this stuff. Look at our animal world, how different animals look, the different shapes and size. I mean, man, we got an animal that has needles on its back called a porcupine, right? That's weird. We got a black and white animal that can really smell if you make it mad. You know, I mean, think about, you know, you've got a rattlesnake, got that rattle on it, letting you know you better leave me alone or I'm going to get you. I mean, God created all of these different things. We got things that crawl on their belly. We got things with four legs. We got a bird that's got a big long neck that keeps its head in the ground, right? Called an ostrich. We got flamingos who are pink, or they look pink. They're really not pink. I did a study on that. But they appear pink because of the pigment of their flesh. But anyway, we have all these things that are different shapes, different sizes. Sharks and whales look totally different. And I wouldn't be close to either one of them, would y'all? But they look totally different. You got penguins, right? Aren't they cute? You got seals. You got that. You got the big walrus that slides this big old 5,000-body pound up on the shore. We got the grizzly, even the bear. We got the white polar bear. We got the brown grizzly bear. We got the Asheville black mountain bear, right? We got Yogi Bear. We got all these bears. God created all of them. Different animals, different creation, different shapes, different sizes. I think if God is doing that, it's what Paul is saying. If God's got all these different designs for his creation, then he's got a design for you. And we are not going to reflect what we reflect now. You know why? Because right now our bodies reflect sin and death and mortality. But the new body will be totally different. We are walking in our seed right now. This flesh is our seed that will be planted when the trumpet sounds. And this seed will break out of its shell and become the body that God wishes to give it. Once again, we will be known. I understand. We will know people. We will be known by people in the lineage. There's no doubt about that. But it won't be because my mom looks like Diane Lewis now. It won't be because somebody she knew 40 years ago, is that you, Diane? Well, you look the same as you did on earth. She's going to know my mom, but not by the way she physically looks. Just like we physically can identify fruit, we can physically identify an animal, we can physically identify a lot of things. We can identify because we know what they are, even though they don't look anything like how they began. All right, verse 42. So also, now he ties it back in. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. We talked about that. There ain't nobody good in here. We all have the death running in us. I'll have that sin in us. I'll have that the things that make us unworthy without the blood of Jesus, right? We have that. And so this body will be sown in that state, but it will be raised in incorruption. The word corruption means perishable. And we know that. We're in a perishable state. You know, when you look back at your old home movies or your old pictures, and when your kids look at you and say, "Oh, man, Dad, you're so fit and so slim, and look at that hair. What happened?" Yes, that's been said to me before by my family. And what happened was, I'm in corruption, and I am perishing. That's why we grow old. Scientists have proven this, that we should not age based on what's happening in our bodies. Because as you probably know this, our cells regenerate themselves every 7 years. We shouldn't die. But we do. Because death worketh in us because of Adam. So also shall all be made alive in Christ. Christ is the remedy that cancels out the death that works in us and the perishable state that works in us. As we know, from the day we're born in the earth, we are on a countdown. Physically, I mean. And this isn't a gloomy message. I promise this is very encouraging. We are on a natural countdown, but we're also on a countdown to our glory. So instead of us being born saying, well, the average lifespan is 72 years, you know, and you hear people say, oh, 70 years is a good life, and, you know, da-da-da-da, we put age limits. Instead of the countdown to retirement, let's have a countdown to glory. Man, you know, you're 50 years old in here and you're like, man, you know what? I could be one day from glory. I could be 30 years from glory. I could be 50 years from glory. But I'm 50 years closer to glory than I was when I started. That's what I know, that I'm 50 years closer to my glory than I was. And that's what I think about, that, man, there's a day coming for the people of God. And here's a great thing. The old devil can't do a thing about it because it's already happened, because Jesus has already done the work. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. Notice how it's sown, how it's raised is completely opposite. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Now, I want to talk about that in just a minute. This is not talking about spiritual body as far as just a vapor with no physical part. This word spiritual body really means a supernatural body. So it's sown with a natural body, with all of our weaknesses and all of our junk, but it's raised, empowered by the Holy Spirit and the glorification of our Father inside of us to now where now we have a supernatural body. No more aging, no more death, no more fear, no more problems, no more defeats, no more weaknesses, no more corruption, no more sickness or disease, no more mental problems, no more emotional distress, no more family issues. All of that is erased, and we are in a perfect state of glory again because of Christ. He came that we might be part of his kingdom. And the only way we can inherit the kingdom, we'll read that in a minute, is that this seed must die, just like a corn seed must die before it can live. Now, all of us won't go by the way of the grave. There will be a generation. We'll talk about that in here in a minute. There will be a generation to where there will be people alive on the earth when Jesus sounds the trump that will be changed on this side. And that's a glorious thing. And I pray to God I'm part of that. And I know you pray you're part of that. And no one knows that. But the good news is, whether by the grave or whether by the instant change, our seed shall be reborn. It is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Now, skip to verse 49. It says, as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Once again, ain't going to look like us. Stacy won't look like Stacy in the new kingdom. This is her seed. This is the earthly that she's bearing, but she's also going to bear a heavenly. This tells me that the new life in Christ, the kingdom of God, is just as real as this is real. Because just as I look like I do today, there'll be a day I will look like him. That I will have all of his glory upon my flesh. Remember, the reason where we're at is because of original sin. Because in the beginning, man failed. Man fell short. And so death reigneth in all men from Adam up to Christ, the Bible says. But then Jesus did something about it. And that's why his precious blood, nothing but the blood, can wash away my sin. We cannot purge ourselves. We cannot cleanse ourselves. But the blood of Jesus removes our iniquities as far as the east is from the west. He washes us white as snow. He remembers our transgressions no more. They are tossed into the sea and buried in the sea of forgetfulness. That's what the grace of Jesus done. That's the price that he paid. It's the only way I can ever see him ever again is to believe in that blood of Jesus. This is not it. There's so much more beyond what we have in the earth. And we try to picture heaven as what will we do there? And what will we walk in? And how will things appear? And what will our daily lives be like? And we can't really equate that because it's a heavenly, new, recreated realm. It's not like we know today. It's not going. Our life there is going to look nothing like our life here. And for most of us, we can say hallelujah to that. It's not going to look like that. I don't know how it's all going to be. I just know it's going to be good. It's going to be real good. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. This means that we have to be changed before we see him. We can't go in the state we're in into the presence of God. Something has to happen. This seed has to die so that it can be raised back up again in the image that God has prepared it. And God's got it. You know, we've talked about this before where I think years ago Angela brought it up. We've talked about it since. How that, and I believe this, how that when each of us cross the other side, that God has something different for each of us to behold. We don't all see the same thing. I know we see movies where everybody goes, you know, up this white staircase in the clouds, you know, and there's old Peter, and he's got the scroll and the pen. Name, please. You know, like you're at a voting poll. Name, address. Oh, Sherman what? Sherman, son, it ain't looking good. Let me make a phone call. Hang on. I got Sherman up here. He's 50-50. What do you want me to do? We see movies like that. We're not going to all see the same thing. God's got something beautifully, specially, individually planned for us. There is no doubt that God has put things in our path that he will let us see for the very first time, catered to what he has planned to give us, because he knows the desires of our heart and is wrapped up already right now with the bow in your name on it, waiting in reserve for Christmas morning for you to go and unwrap that paper and pull that bow and see what God has for you. And there is no doubt God has something special for each and every one of us to see when we cross over. God, not a cookie cutter God. I mean, look at humanity, how different we look. I mean, look around this congregation, how all different we look. Some big, some small, some hairy, some bald. You know, some short, some tall. I keep rhyming. That's pretty good, y'all. Anyway, all of us look different. You know, we got different states represented in here. We talked about that one Sunday. Everybody that raised their hand that was from different states is like, my Lord, anybody from North Carolina anymore? It's like, wow, I'm here, Ohio, Michigan, West Virginia. You know, oh, man. We're all, yeah, Alaska, yeah. We're all different. And we look different. And we're shaped different. Our cultures are different. We like different music. How many of you like country music? Raise your hand if you're a country person. Like country. Don't be ashamed. How many like rock and roll? See the difference? How many like bluegrass? A little bit of bluegrass. How about the blues? Jazz. Frank Sinatra. I love Frank Sinatra too. Me and Mallory love Sinatra music. We absolutely love it. I can listen to it all day long. I love Frank Sinatra music. We're all different. We got different interests. We got different desires. We got different teams we pull for. You know, we're different. So what makes us think that God doesn't have something different for us in the future? And he does. And I'm excited about that. Now, let's look at verse 51. This is where I start doing gravesite verses right here. But you're not the grave site today, hallelujah. Not yet. Behold, I show you a mystery.
We shall not all sleep, which means die. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. Hallelujah. All of us will be changed because this seed will give birth to whatever God has waiting on it, whatever body that is. And I do believe it'll be a natural, physical existence we'll have in the kingdom of God. It won't be a vapor we're in. It won't be just some kind of twilight zone we're walking around in. It'll be a natural body that can do supernatural things. Remember when Jesus rose from the dead? He didn't raise a ghost, did he? He rose as Jesus in the flesh. He walked around. They touched him. Remember, they actually touched Jesus. You can't touch Casper the Friendly Ghost. Your hand just goes right through him. They touched Jesus. Also, do you know what else Jesus did? Jesus appeared places even through locked doors and through walls. How'd you get in here? He was changed. His resurrection says he is the first fruits of them that would follow. This tells me I will be in a natural body, but able to do supernatural things. You mean you believe we'll be able to relocate from place to place in an instant? Yes, I do. Christ did. And that's what he died for, that we would follow that pattern. So absolutely, I believe in our next stage of life, we'll be able to appear through walls. We'll be able to supernaturally overcome boundaries we can't overcome now because we are going to be changed. We're not the flesh that we are now. We're going to be as he said, there's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. Jesus had a natural body. He got hungry. He cried. He laughed. He slept. He got tired. He probably got frustrated. He's probably afraid. He faced all those emotions we do. But after the resurrection, he was glorified. Just like we will be whenever this seed gives way. We're all going to be changed. And it says we're all not going to die. Y'all see that? I'm not making that up. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. No more perishable state. There'll be no more point that I'll have to worry about death ever having me, because now life has me forever. That last trump's going to sound, and I will be raised in a different state. Isn't it exciting when you plant a garden, you don't see any activity for a few days, and all of a sudden you go out there and like, woo, where'd you come from? Wow, cool. You get so excited. I planted some grass back in September in some bare spots I had in the yard. I planted some grass. I did the little hand tilling. I did it all right. Got straw, put straw on top of it. I got new grass coming up, Rodney. I'm so proud. Melly's heard about it 20 times, haven't you, Melly? See my grass? See my grass? See my grass? See my grass? It's so exciting because there was nothing there before. There was nothing there before. It was just hard dirt with no life. And now there's brand new, and I limed it too, there's brand new blades of grass that have all popped up. When I threw that grass seed down, grass seed ain't pretty, is it, Rodney? Grass seed ain't pretty. I mean, how would you like your yard to just be grass seed? You pull up, I gotta go mow the grass seed today. Just grass seed. There's no beauty in grass seed. There's no beauty in us. Oh, but man, once that grass seed settles in that dirt, and once God blows water up on it, and sun up on it, and all the things it needs up on it, all of a sudden, it's doing a work inside the soil. That death, decaying state of that seed, as it's perishing away in its perishable state, is giving way, and out of that seed, life comes forth, and life busts out. And all of a sudden, green blades of grass replace where death was, where nothing was, where darkness was, and now there's something to behold. That's what I was, and this is what I am, because of what Christ has done for me. Hallelujah. That's us, and that's our bodies. So, yes. Look, I ain't trying to trip none of y'all out. Y'all be going home saying, man, we'll be going through a wall. Woo. I'm saying that we are going to have a supernatural body the next time. With no limitations. I truly believe that. With no limitations. You know, after Jesus rose and walked the earth for 40 days and talked to all his people, and you know, they all seen him. They were there, and what happened? He ascended, right? Just ascended out of their sight. He was still in a physical body. How'd that happen? Because he was glorified. He was changed. He planted, he left his seed in the tomb, and the harvest came out. This is our seed right here we're walking in. And one day when this seed is placed in the tomb, then out of that comes the harvest God has for us. And it'll be forever. I know we don't understand that. Especially, you know, young people say, you know, what am I going to do forever? You know, YouTube videos forever. Video games forever. Texting forever. Snapchats forever. Selfies forever. Me and Peter, me and Paul, me and Daniel, me and David, me and Jonah, and the whale. Hey, whale. I mean, selfies forever. I don't know what we're going to do, church. I just know it's going to be good. And I just know I'm going to be with my Savior, and I'm not a bit worried about what's going to happen next. I'm with him. I'm good. And that's all that matters. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. We've been talking about that. It's got, until we get to our next body, it's got, before we see Jesus, it's got to happen. And this mortal, it must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. See, death is still working in us physically. I understand we don't die spiritually because of Christ, but we still die physically. Most people do. Everybody has so far, except for a couple people in the Bible. Our flesh is decaying. Our flesh is growing old. Our flesh is aging. As we get older, we have more pains. Our vision dims. Our hearing dulls. All that stuff starts happening because we're in a perishable state. But there is a time when that prophecy... My next verse, 55, or is it Isaiah? Okay, let's read 55 first, and I want to go get a couple of verses of the Old Testament to show this being fulfilled. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Now, look at this next two verses. This is out of the Old Testament. Isaiah 25:8, 700 years before Christ. He will swallow up death in victory. See, Paul is re-quoting the Old Testament because they were all about the Old Testament now. These Jewish people, they're all about the law, about the Torah, about all the old prophets. He's reminding them, here's what Isaiah said, that he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. Then the next verse is also Old Testament, Hosea 13 and 14. I will ransom thee from the power of the grave. Prophecy. I'm going to ransom you from the power of the grave. I don't know about y'all, but the grave's pretty final. I mean, when you're burying someone, you're at that place with them. That's the last physical place you can possibly get that body is at that grave. And unless the Lord decides to raise them out of the coffin where you're at, that's pretty final. He's going to ransom us from the power of the grave. I will redeem you from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from my eyes. I'm going to destroy the grave. I'm going to destroy death. Now here we see Paul, hundreds of years later, saying this. This saying has been fulfilled, is what he's saying now. That Jesus is the one that will stop death and ransom you from the grave. Death don't hold us as Christians. We won't ever know it. I don't believe in this doctrine that we just it could be different ways, but I don't believe in this doctrine that we don't know anything. I definitely don't believe in the doctrine that this is all there is and that we just, you know, rot away and all that. Here's what I believe in. And once again, remember, we're measuring time differently in the kingdom than we are on the earth. You know, we measure time now by 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. You know, eternity doesn't have that. So I believe that when we take our last breath and our body lays itself down in the flesh, that there is no, absolutely no separation. There's no lack of knowledge of a presence of God. And I know people teach this different. And here's what I want to say about this, because really it doesn't matter. Some people teach that there's that the spirit don't really go anywhere until the resurrection, that we're there. And then at the resurrection day, God raised everybody up. However that is, whether it's that way or whether some people teach you immediately go to be the Lord as soon as your breath is taken. Once our last breath is taken, the next thing we're going to know is Him. And whether people say, you know what, you may lay there 300 years before He calls your name, you're not going to know that. You will have immediate knowledge of Christ. There's no time like we know it now. And so I believe that's why I believe, because the Bible says that neither life nor death nor principality, anything, all that stuff shall ever separate us from the love of God. So I believe that when I take my last breath, however many times on the year, earthly years they say that is, it's not going to be time I understand. I just know that when I begin to drift away, I'm going to see the hand of God pulling me. Because time is not measured here like there. And there's no separation. That I'm immediately with Christ. I'm not just laying there waiting on something to happen. I'm experiencing it happening as I'm losing my breath. I've heard stories, I've been with people, I've seen people where they have reached out to things they have seen, where they have spoken of things they are seeing in that moment, to where they are letting go and releasing because something is calling them. It's God calling them home. And we can let go because we see Him and we hear Him. We're not just laying there with no knowledge of anything going on. We are a living soul that God gave us. And this soul, the soul man, can't die. The flesh, yes. But the soul man can't die because we're a living spirit created by Christ. And that's what I believe. No separation. Immediately with Him. And then verse 56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus. Oh, we have victory. We've done the law all this time, and then Christ came and says, I fulfilled the law. And now you just rest in my grace. That's where your victory's at. Your future is banked on what I've done, not on what you've done. Your future is based on the price I pay, not on anything you could ever accomplish. And I get very frustrated with people. We see it all the time in different denominations, different walks of churches and religious living and Christian living, that we think that somehow by doing something on our own, we're adding merit or favor to God doing something for us. Whenever the Bible is clear, it is by grace you're saved. It is the gift of God, lest any man boast. I fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Praise be to you, Almighty. That's awesome. But don't add one stature to the saving grace God gave you. Part of your walk, yes. Part of what God's do it. If God speaks to you that, obey it and do it. There's a reason for it. But don't confuse that with I'm more saved than Ray because I fasted 40 days. You just like hunger in Ray. That's all you are. You're not more holy than Ray. We've got to be very careful to understand that Jesus paid this price and that we have a promised future. There is more than this. You hang on and you believe in that. That's what gets us through our walk as Christians, to know, man, God's got something planned for me. So I don't have to fear what the world does. I don't have to fear what happens around the world. I don't have to fear what's happening in my life. I don't have to worry about all the things of day-to-day stress because I realize that one day all this is going to pass away and I will walk in the fullness of everything God has waiting on me. And I'm excited about that. This is an exciting message to realize, man, I'm going to have a glorified new body. Be a great Joe Brown to have a body, no pain, wouldn't it? No pain no more. Oh, no fears and no tears and no sorrows. Revelation tells us that. I'm going to, you know, I saw a new city, Jerusalem, coming down, and I wipe away your tears, and no more pain, no more fear, no more sorrows. All that's gone. I believe that. I believe that is coming. Now, some people say, you know what, Christians believe this because they need a crutch. And somebody told me this recently. I talked to them and said, well, y'all just need a crutch to lean on to get you through life. I said, no, the Word of God I believe in, and it tells me what's going to happen. Man, we read horoscopes and believe those. Most of y'all know what sign you are. I guarantee you, man, you might be ashamed to raise your hand, but I guarantee most of you know what sign you are. Mm-hmm. And I know I have too. I've read mine for fun. I don't do it and believe anything in it, but I've definitely read mine from time to time to see what it says. I'm a Taurus, by the way. A bull. Are you a bull too? Melanie says I'm bull all the time. Anyway. I know what I am. And there are definitely times I've read my little horoscope, you know, treat someone nice today because, you know, this is the day that, whatever, you know, but I don't put no stock in that, but we read it, you know. And my Lord, we believe what Google says. We believe what internet says, don't we? Oh, my gosh. Some of y'all will research stuff until you, some of you will you'll Google stuff till you find what the answer you want. You know? You'll keep it. Well, no, they don't prove my theory. Let me go to another site. Oh, here it is. I found it on stupidfacts.com. Way down here, 50 pages deep into my search. Here it is. Some remote guy in India says this is the truth. See, I told you, Mom. That's what I told you. That's what I got. Are you serious? Oh, man. But we'll take this word of God and say, well, you know, men wrote that. Of course men wrote it. God used men to do everything. Didn't God use Moses to part the Red Sea? He used, you know, Joseph to deliver his family. He used David to slay a giant. Of course he uses men. This is what I bank on. And this is the truth I believe in. And I believe this word is God's word. And so when I read these scriptures, I can trust that. And I believe in that. And I believe that I am a seed that will be sown. I believe that I will be changed. I believe I will be immortal. I believe I will be incorruptible. I believe the grave has no power. I believe that I have victory through Christ Jesus. I believe what the Bible says. And I trust it. And so whatever anybody says, that's okay. A lot of folks now know we're into science, right? Especially especially the millennial generation. They're really into science and to self-thought. It's fine. I'm all about science. Darling, I love science. I do. But you know what? I just believe in a scientist that created everything. I challenged a person one time about a creator that everything they had on was created by somebody. You ladies, a lot of you are in jewelry. That jewelry was created by a creator. Gold just didn't pop out of a gold mine and walk out in this little, you know, speckled nuggets and walk out. And then I'll be a ring. Boom! I found a ring. It must be self-made. Somebody has to take that gold and burn it and mold it and work on it and sculpt it. And then take that $3 gold and sell it for $3,000. That's what they got to do. There's a creator behind everything you see. The time.